Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I hope you are enjoying the stellar day. It's always a beautiful day when you wake up and you're able to stretch and smile and participate in life, and I am very grateful. Wanted to give a large shout out to Amy, who has been a fabulous facilitator of a swarm of guests that are coming to fill the next few months of our radio show. It's super exciting. We have some really interesting healers, speakers, authors, and holistic practitioners coming on. So definitely keep your eyes out for that. And on a personal note, I did lose a friend over the weekend, and would ask everybody to give a silent prayer at the end of the show for my friend Bonnie, who suddenly passed away on Sunday. She will be deeply missed, especially by my little one, who just absolutely adored her. And so if you don't mind, just give a little prayer. That would be really cool. Today we have Robin Marvel. She is a motivational speaker and survivor of childhood abuse, alcohol abuse, and she has an incredible story. I spent a late night last night reading some excerpts of her book, and it's going to be really powerful, I think, to get a sense of where she came from and how she became an inspiration to other people and helping them cope and thrive in and after such tragedy. So we're going to welcome her in a moment. I wanted to say good afternoon to my friend Amy. Hello.
Hi, Rusty. It's a beautiful, sunny day, which makes me very happy, as you know. I wanted to give a little shout-out to the New England Holistic Health Association, as they are going to have a lot of holistic health practitioners be on the show. So I want to give a shout-out to them. It's a nonprofit organization that helps people find the right holistic healer.
Amen to them. And we are going to have one of my favorite sounds come on soon, and we're working aggressively to have a didgeridoo artist come on, and so that's super, super exciting for me because I love the art and the history and the sound. So definitely keep your eye on our schedule. So let's welcome Miss Robin. Hello, Miss Robin, how are you?
Hi, great, how are you?
Hi, Robin.
I'm very well, thank you. And welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. So like I in the intro mentioned, you know, a little bit about where you came from and who you are. But if you can give us a little bit about you, that would be great.
Okay, well, you know, I started out with a really unstable childhood. I went through a lot of domestic violent behaviors within my home as far back as I can remember. You know, I can remember my dad physically abusing my mom, and I would remember hiding in the bottom of our closet hoping he wouldn't kidnap me, but it was just a repetitive pattern. Every night he would beat my mom, and then he would kidnap me, and then we'd go sleep in his car. And, you know, this just continued on and on and on throughout my childhood. And, you know, once my mom divorced him, it didn't get any better because she entertained the same kind of relationships. And so there were many times where I was shoving my mom in ditches because, you know, abusive men were trying to run her over. Several counts of homelessness. And when we did have a place, no electricity, you know, it was just kind of very turbulent. I learned what I was worth from watching my mom believe what she was worth, so I kind of followed that, and I became very addicted to alcohol when I was 15 years old, and boys, that was where I was getting my attention. You know, I needed something to make me feel like I was worth something because I didn't understand. I owned that, and I became a mother at age 16, and so I really had to decide what direction my life was going to go into and what I was going to do with it without falling into being a statistic. So that's kind of where.
So describe to us a little bit, because I think kidnapping is a very strong word, and I'm trying to understand what that means in your world. I know from my personal childhood, which was abuse, you know, very similar stories, But what do you mean by kidnapping? How does a father kidnap their child? What was that process?
Well, he would come in every night. You know, we lived behind a bar, and he would go to the bar, and they would get, you know, obviously they would get wasted, and then he would come home and beat my mom to where she couldn't fight to keep me any longer, and he would take me, and it could be days, and it could be overnight. It just depended on what he felt like, but the whole time we were on the run. You know, it was like we had to sleep in the car, and we had to eat what my grandma would give us that we could keep in the car and just move constantly in this vehicle so that the police couldn't find us. And then some nights, you know, he would take me back and they would fight it out again. You know, it was just kind of I was like a pawn in his game, I guess.
A way to intimidate your mother.
Yeah. So, I mean, still it's pretty rough.
Now, when did this start? What is your first memory?
My first memory of this is probably when I was four, I would say. I know it went on before that, but I can remember being four and him coming in and breaking my mom's jaw. I can remember watching him, like, I know it sounds graphic, but hitting her face in the bathroom sink until, I mean, it was just a horrific picture. And, you know, I would bury myself in the bottom of the closet and be like, I hope he doesn't find me. I mean, I can remember having those memories like they were yesterday. And,
that's amazing.
You know, it was pretty rough. I guess I didn't realize it then because it was such a repetitive pattern, you know, it was just every single night. And then, like I said, it went on to where we were homeless and we would be living on a river in a station wagon, and my mom would have her boyfriend and he would beat her up on the bank of the river. She would try and drown herself in the river. I mean, it was you know,
so one of the things that you mentioned in regards to coping was to hide in the closet. How else do you remember coping aside from the alcohol as a teenager, just kind of the in-between for,
as a child,
and, you know, as a littler person? What were the, you know, did you scream? Did you bite yourself? I mean, that's so traumatic. There must have been something that you did to kind of pretend that this stuff wasn't happening aside from hiding in the closet.
You know, I think I really threw myself into taking care of my two sisters. I think that was really helpful for me in coping with it. I had an older sister and a younger sister, but I instantly became, I guess, basically the caretaker for them, getting them up and going to school, taking them to school. And, I mean, I know that sounds weird, but even as far back as second grade, I can remember waking my sisters up.
It's not weird. I've heard that a lot.
Okay. Okay. And I also would call the cops all the time. Like, that was something that I did a lot, and I got in a lot of trouble from my aunts, from my mom, from my grandma. It didn't matter. They would all be so angry at me. But I wanted to protect my mom. I mean, you're seeing this go on, and you're little, and you're like, oh, the only people I can call but are the cops. And I was even scared to call them because I knew I'd be in so much trouble, but I was like, I have to stop it. And that was the only way I knew that would stop it for that moment. I mean, as soon as they left, who knows what would happen. It's not like now where somebody would go to jail.
Right.
It wasn't like that back then. So.
No, it wasn't. And they also, back then, you know, like you have mentioned several times of you living out of a vehicle, that wouldn't happen for very long in this day and age. But back then, you know, it happened a lot more than we know. That, and, you know, kids going to school, you know, you pretend to be normal when you go to school. And, you know, you see these behaviors in children that raise flags and you wonder, you know, what's going on in their home life, you know. And to hear these, I mean, I didn't have, you know, a horrible childhood, but I'm not, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear things like this, because children to me are the most amazing creatures on the planet, and I can't imagine anyone wanting to hurt a child.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So let's go into a little bit more about your childhood. I know from my personal childhood, there are certain smells that I, even if I smell now, it sends me right back into that moment, you know, where you freeze and you're scared for a second. Is there anything like that that triggers, do you have triggers like that at this point, or?
You know, I really, the only thing that I know is a direct effect from my childhood is I can't handle, like, confrontation. For me, I'm not a confrontational person anyways, but even to see it outside or to see it, like, on TV, like, it physically gets my stomach in knots. And for me to be standing somewhere where somebody starts getting angry, like, I'm out of there. I can't deal with it physically. You know, I just really can get all tied up in knots and nervous. And so I just don't, I guess that's something people arguing or even one person, you know, you can tell when people are getting hot-headed. And I just don't want to be around for that. And like I said, even to watch it on TV, I don't like to do that either. And that's just, I guess that is an effect of what I went through in my life.
So the relationship with your mother and her male partners, was it mutually abusive or was she defending herself? What do you remember as a child? I think there's a distinguishing factor for children, especially for women and role model, how your parents role model for you. And if you're defending yourself constantly, I think as an adult you have a different perception on how to handle relationships than if you were the attacker. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember ever seeing my mom attack, but, you know, it might just have been what I wanted to see because, you know, it was my mom.
Right.
Yeah, so that. But I don't even remember ever seeing her throw a punch. I'm sure that she did, but all I ever remember is, like, you know,
her being the victim.
Yeah, that's all I ever remember. And I mean, she continues to be the victim, not physically anymore, but her mindset is still in a victim mindset, probably from all of those times where she was in that position.
So for you personally, what types of relationships, you know, obviously you were heavily influenced by this extremely toxic environment as a child. How difficult was it for you to have a safe relationship? I mean, amaze me. You have five daughters. Amen. That's awesome. You know,
awesome.
So now you have this different role of being the person influencing these girls and a different perspective as to how to do that. But at the time, it doesn't sound like you really had a lot of support in regards to healthy relationships. So what was that like as a teenager especially? That's a horrible time period for you anyway, with the hormones and everything.
You know, I, as a teenager, I just really wanted attention. You know, that was the relationships that I based. I didn't care how I got it. I have not ever been in a physically violent relationship myself, ever, because I can remember those days and nights and how I felt, and I refused to tolerate that. You know, I draw a very thick line in the way that people treat me, and I refuse to be treated like that. You know, I will not be called names in a relationship, and I will not be belittled, or nobody will ever put their hands on me. I mean, that's something I'm really strong in. So I didn't ever repeat those cycles of the abuse like that with
them.
That
is very rare.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that even if it wasn't a physical abusive, did you have relationships that now as a mother and as an adult you could recognize were unhealthy, aside from
absolutely
just wanting the attention, but, you know, okay.
Yeah, I definitely did. I went for relationships and what I thought I was worth, you know, and when you have a low self-esteem and you don't feel a high sense of worth, you will stay in these unhealthy relationships, you know, but I guess at some point I just started learning my strength and what I would tolerate and what I wouldn't. And when I grew with that, I started, my relationships obviously started changing. And the way people treated me, my relationships started changing. I hope that's answering your question. You know, I definitely had I didn't know how to have a relationship. You know, I didn't know that you didn't have to be a crazy possessive person, because that's what I've watched, the behaviors with my mom and then the violence. So there really wasn't any relationship that I looked at and went, oh, that's healthy and that's a successful relationship. So I really had to learn by trial and error, and that's how I came to have the fantastic relationship I have now. We had to grow together and learn together. And now it's at a great place. So,
but there had to be some sort of influence for you to go. I know for me personally, I went to 23 public schools, and yet one of the things that I am gifted at is helping other people, always have art. So for me, my outlet was in school with usually the art teacher hanging out. And those people were generally my positive influences where I could see positive relationships. So there had to have been something or someone in your life that sparked this initiative for you to become a motivational speaker and an author. You've written, what, 5 books?
Four.
So what types of things do you think influenced you to really acknowledge the fact that you can do better for yourself?
You know, I think that a lot of it was when I found out I was having a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I didn't see the negative lifestyle and the choices that I was choosing, and I didn't see the stuff that was going on when I was a child, but I really had to make that decision to either be a statistic and keep going through the cycles or stop it. And that empowered me, and I didn't really have one person who, I mean, of course, there were always people who were nice to me and showed me kindness, and those people influenced me. But I didn't really have any one person that triggered that. I remember deciding when I found out I was having a girl, and I said, you know what, she will not be a statistic. I will work and work and work, and this baby will not grow up like that. It's not going to happen. And so that's what I did, and that's what I still do to this day. You know, it's very important to me that these girls have high self-esteem and love themselves and are going to go out and do wonderful things in this world because that's what they're capable of. So I guess I just hold myself at a higher standard, but there really wasn't any one person that I looked at and went, you're influencing me. There just really wasn't. I don't know. Maybe my kids, I guess, would be the only people I would
now,
say.
Getting to some listeners that may be listening because they have experienced the same thing but haven't been, you know, given that opportunity or have an influence in their life that can show them the right path. What guides a person to believe that we are more than our environment? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I think that what's really important is when people start to love themselves and realize the power of choice, I think that that's really something that's another thing that how I shifted, you know, when I realized that I could choose my life, that I didn't have to be a product of how I grew up or where I was at when I was 15 years old. I could decide and work and become who I wanted to be right now. And I think that that is really important for people to realize that they hold mm-hmm. all of that in their hands. Because a lot of times people just give up because they think, well, you know, I had this horrible childhood. My parents were alcoholics. So this is just what I'm destined to do. This is my destiny. This is my cycle. Well, you can write your own destiny. You can break your cycles. There's no limits to it. It's just what you want to be in this moment right now in the life that you want to live. And that's really been what's helpful for me.
Now, if it's, for instance, again, for the listeners, what would be your suggestion to young girls out there that may be experiencing some of what you've been through? Who would be, if they are looking for a mentor or someone to help them, where would they look? Do they look in the school system? I mean, obviously, family a lot of times is not a good resource. So what would be your suggestions for those listeners that are looking to better themselves and what they can, you know, start with today?
I think what you can start with today is really start looking at yourself differently and knowing that, like I just said, you know, that you hold the power in changing these things in your life. If you need help to get out of a situation, then you should go get that help. Like, that's always okay when you need help. Mm-hmm. You know, don't feel embarrassed because you need somebody to help give you that extra boost out of the rut that you're in or to help you break that cycle. I think that that's the first step for everybody is looking at your life and going, you know what, I want to change this. And you might not be able to just instantly change it over. I mean, I don't think you can change anything
instantly
overnight.
Oh, no, you can't.
Overnight.
But, you know,
no,
there's always a first step.
You can take
step.
The baby steps. Exactly. Yep. And so I think that, I mean, I think anybody, any age, any place, anything, everyone, there's no, you know, nothing that you can't change. It's just you have to make the commitment to yourself to do it and then start with that. And if you have to take baby steps, then do it. If you fall back, that's okay. Get back up and start again, because it is amazing the things that you can do when you commit to yourself and you want to do it. And so that's where I would tell people to start.
So one of the things that I found interesting, Robin, was that you have two books, one for girls and one for boys. Can you talk to us a little bit about the purpose behind those books?
Yeah, the Girls and Boys Guides were really about, like I was saying earlier, I grew up with low self-esteem and not really knowing all the opportunity out there, and I think that happens with a lot of people. And I was homeschooling my girls, and I thought, you know, I want a book that they can work in that will really help them to build on who they are and to learn about all these different things in the world that they might not know about. And I looked online. I couldn't find anything. So I said, you know what, I'm going to write it. And I contacted a publisher and said, this is my idea. And he said, that's awesome. Send it to me. And those books are really written for that. They're written to people, have these kids, these girls and boys, take a hands-on approach to their life starting from a young age and start, you know, they have to do the exercises in the books and discover who they really are and build their self-esteem and be empowered in their lives.
So why don't you take our listeners, we are an international show and a lot of people will listen later tonight, the archived, or early tomorrow morning, depending on where they are in the world. Why don't you give us a couple of steps that you would recommend for kids in your books?
Okay, for kids, the first thing that I do in there, or I do, you know, is teaching your kids about their own energy and how they're in charge of it and, their personal energy field. And I do an exercise called Feel Your Energy, where you would just have them rub their hands together and for about 15 seconds and pull it about 15, like a pencil length apart. And they can feel the friction in there, and they can really get a sense of their own energy and how, and that helps to encourage them and show them that they can be in charge of their own energy because it is theirs. I also talk about having an attitude of gratitude in that book, which I think is so important, not just for kids but for everybody, because we get so caught up in the drama of life and we're so busy, you know, we're hurrying through school and through work and everything, that these kids don't have a chance to slow down and just be grateful for what they have. You know, they're just constantly going. If you can help them to have a sense of gratitude, it can change their entire attitude. Like I do with my girls, you know, I have them write a list of 15 things that can bring them instant gratitude. And when they're having an off, you know, they're down or whatever, I'm like, let's find something to be grateful for. Pick something off of your list. And they can go to that and they can really focus on it and shift their energy. And you would be amazed at how fast that can actually elevate somebody's mood and change the entire tone of the day. So I think that those are some really important things that you can do with your kids. Another thing that I just want to share real quick is, and I do this with my children all the way down, my youngest is one, but my five-year-old, I also do this with. She, if they're having a bad day, you can stop them and you can say, I will go, whose day is this? And they'll say, mine. And I'll say, well, who's in charge of this day? And, you know, my daughter will go, it's me. And I'll say, okay, this is your day. You get to pick how it's going to play out. Now, either you can be in an ornery mood, and that's the way your day's going to follow, or you can flip your switch and turn to a positive attitude, and you can change your whole day and have a great day and enjoy it. But it's up to you. This is your day, and you're responsible for it. And 98% of the time, they'll flip their mood, and then the rest of their day continues. So I think that's a really powerful exercise you can use with your kids and with yourself.
Absolutely. So talk to us a little bit about where you go, your motivational speaking, how long you've been doing it, and really your life's purpose and why you chose this venue as your day job, so to speak.
I really decided to do this because I feel like I have a story that can help people. And times I hear it a lot in my own area, and I hear it a lot in the world, where people feel really stuck and they feel like they don't have anyone that they can relate to. And with me, I like the fact that I've experienced this. Like, I'm not just researching stuff and standing in front of you and talking to you about it. This is stuff that I've been through, and I can say I've been there. I understand. Let me show you what I did, and hopefully you can take these tools and use them in your own life, because that's really what I ultimately want. You know, I want people to live their greatness and not stay trapped in these past experiences and live through a wounded eye. And so I've been doing this since 2008, and that's when my first book came out, and I started realizing that I could help other people. I do my motivational speaking all over the United States. I go to, people will contact me and say, will you come to my town? And I'm more than happy to do it, because I really want to help people. I really want them to understand that it's okay to get stuck, but it's so freeing to be unstuck from these limits. And I do radio interviews all, I'm guessing, internationally, because they're all over the internet. And so that's what I do for my day job.
Awesome. What do you think when you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, okay, I've got five kids, and say, I looked at your calendar, you had a few interviews today already scheduled. What is your motivation? Do you look in the mirror and say, woohoo? That's my personal motivation, is the woot woot. But for you, give our viewers a couple of hints or tricks to waking up and starting an extraordinarily busy day, inspiring other people.
My main thing I do is I set my nightly intentions and I set my morning intentions. And at night, before I go to sleep, I always say, tomorrow's going to be an amazing day. I can't wait to see what wonderful things are going to happen. And I seriously do that every night. And in the morning when I wake up, and you know, I wake up and hit the ground running. I mean, like
yep.
you said, I have the five kids. I have a one-year-old, so I'm up most of the night because she's not a sleeper yet. And, but you know, I always set those intentions in the morning too. You know, like to me, my motivation is I love being alive. I absolutely know it's an opportunity. I know not everybody gets to be, you know, grow old, and I know that sounds weird, but it's true. We don't all get that opportunity, and I don't want to take it for granted. I mean, if I only have 100 years here, I have a lot. I mean, yeah, I have a lot to do. I have a lot to do in a small amount of time, and that's my motivation. I just want to live it to the fullest and be as loud as I can and inspire others so that they're doing the same things. And that's how, you know, I love it. I that's it. Simple. I love life.
So with five children in your age range, I'm just trying to think. I know my six-year-old is experiencing bullying at school. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because she's like her mom. She's, you know, too Irish not to be stubborn and too German not to say anything. Running joke in our house, but what advice do you give your children when they run into bullies? Because obviously, you know, a lot of your childhood, it's very much a bullying thing. What do you offer for advice?
You know, with bullying, I get so heated about bullying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so ridiculous. I mean, and for me, what I've watched with bullying, like I homeschool my kids, but my oldest daughter did go to public till sixth grade. And I see these kids with this learned behavior of bullying, like a majority of the time with my experience, it's a learned behavior from their parents or, you know, wherever, mostly from the parents in my experience. And, you know, I get so mad about it because I think, how can these people even, why do you even do that? Like, I even get a loss for words. I get so frustrated with it. But for me, with my kids, I teach them, you know, you're going to face people who are not going to like you, and people are going to say things about you, and especially if you live in a small town like we do, it's like 347 people, there's always someone talking. There's always someone trying to put you down. But you have to live knowing and being strong and true in who you are, living your truth. And if they don't like it, so what? All you can do is smile and walk on. And I know that's not all cases of bullying, because I know some bullying is extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, with what I've dealt with, my oldest daughter, Emily, was bullied by a girl in third grade. She kept saying stuff to her, telling her she was ugly, telling her she was fat. And Emily would come home and tell me, and I'd be like, you know what? she's obviously really sad in the spot that she's at in her life, and all you need to do is just walk away from her. She doesn't matter. Her words only mean something if you say they mean something to you. So you just smile and go about your business. Well, one day on the playground, the little girl shoved Emily down, and that was it for me. I no way is someone putting their hands on my kid. I went to the school. They blew me off. You know, I went to the teacher. Finally, I called the principal, and I said, you have till the end of today to stop this, or I am filing a police report, because that was my last resort. I didn't know what else to do, and and it was taken care of. Luckily, the little girl, you know, she got in trouble, and she never talked to Emily again. She moved on to other kids, apparently. But, I mean, it's frustrating as a parent, because if the school's not doing anything and you can't reason with the parents, like, what do you do? You know, pull your kid out of school, I guess. I don't know.
I had an experience with my son in school, and he wasn't really being bullied, but he was you know, prominent on the football team, so he always was being challenged. And we had an incident where this kid was trying to get Jamie to be violent. So he kept, you know, throwing things at him and, you know, trying. You know, it ended up he squirted chocolate milk in his face. And he still did not retaliate until he bodily hit him in the face. And I've always taught my children, you never hit first, but if you need to protect yourself, I will back you up 100%. Yeah. And I understand where the schools are coming from, where they don't want violence on either end. I totally get it. But my question was, where were the teachers? There shouldn't have been a 30-minute period of time that my son went through this. And there was, you know, a number of children that saw what was going on, and he was doing all he could to avoid that situation. But when he was being bodily hurt, he had to protect himself. And I did the same thing as you, as I went right to the principal, and, you know, and that's the problem. And that, and one of the things that I, you know, have advocated is, you know, who do you talk to at school when you're having these problems? I mean, kids need to know that they do have somebody at school that they can go to and trust. Right. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, in your own experience as a child, did you have anyone at school, a counselor or a teacher or even a friend that you could have, that you confided with or felt comfortable with?
You know, and the question I was asked earlier about somebody influencing me, when you just asked me that, it went off in my head that really I did have these amazing teachers that helped me. Like, I had Mrs. Castaneda, who was my kindergarten teacher, who was just loving and caring and was the first person who ever showed me unconditional love. You know, she was just kind as could be, even though my parents were drug abusers and I came to school dirty. And so she was really nice. And then I remember, you know, second grade, I had a lunch lady that I went in and helped make the breakfast, and her name was Mo, and she was really nice. And so, you know, I went through school, and up until I think high school is where it really went, where there was nobody, you know. But like through sixth grade, I had an amazing teacher, Mrs. Hughes. We were living in a hotel room, and I couldn't go on the school trip, and she paid for it and bought me a swimsuit. So I think things like that influenced my life. But I didn't mean to get off track there, but those
I was totally not off track.
No, that was totally right on. So thank you.
Yeah, because you know there are those people who do care. There really are, but it's just weeding them out, because a lot of times the people in the school, if you're at least in my area, being the small area, it's very very clicky, I guess you want to say.
Yes.
So you know, when my daughter in sixth grade, what was the final breaking point of me homeschooling her? Because she'd went, and she didn't want to come out at first because, you know, it's something different. I went into a principal because a teacher was bullying her. A teacher was saying rude things to her and being mean to her. And I went in, and he said, oh, your daughter's just too sensitive. And I was like, let me tell you something. My daughter is not coming to school and being abused by your teachers. And I don't care what you say about her being too sensitive. You're lucky to have her walk these hallways. She has not ever had a discipline problem. She's great grades, whatever. You know, I was so mad that how.
And there are teachers
that
out there like that. Not many, thank goodness, but there are.
Yeah. Yep.
And children need to be aware of that too, because they may not even be able to distinguish if that is actual. I mean, abuse is a strong word, but you know, you have emotional abuse, you have physical abuse, and I actually had a, you know, somewhat of a similar you know, issue with one of my children, and you know, it took a lot to really get the principal and everybody to see what I was talking about, and it took other children coming to the forefront and saying, what this teacher is saying is wrong. It's a lie. And it took, you know, several meetings and several instances, and I basically did what you did. I had to pretty much threaten them with a police report,
yeah,
because they weren't addressing it. And you're right, it happens right at the, you know, the junior high to high school level, where there really isn't a lot of resources for these kids, and that's where the bullying is, I think, the most.
Right. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pause, take a little break, ask everybody out there in virtual lands to get up, stretch, take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, or breathe out deeply. Depends on if you're grammatically correct, which I'm not today. Running on loo. I need my coffee. So go out, everybody, and grab a cup of tea. We're going to check the chat room, see what's going on in there, check Facebook, that whole thing, get some more questions for Miss Robin. And thank you for listening to Living and Thriving. We'll be right back. Hopefully everybody out there was able to stretch and readjust their backs and, you know, get into the groove. It's a pretty deep topic today, and thank you for listening. I didn't get any coffee because, unfortunately, I forgot to make it before the show. Silly me. It's time to get an assistant, I think. So, Miss Robin, we have a couple of questions via email regarding a little bit more about your childhood and the steps that you took to, you know, just become an adult. Did you graduate high school? Were you able to take night classes? You were pregnant when you were 16, right?
Right, yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I did graduate high school, and the funny thing is when I went back to school, I had my daughter August 20th. My senior year started August 24th.
Oh, no.
And I said, yeah, I said, I'll be there because the school, the small school district here in my area, wanted me to go to alternative. They said, we don't really want you in public. You have a kid. You know, they're really, really judgmental. And I was like, nope, I'm coming to this school, and I'm graduating. I'm walking that stage with all these people I went to school with since seventh grade. I'm walking that stage. And it was a rough year. I mean, it was a really rough year of teachers, parents, students. I mean, nobody was really nice. I had this, I have a quick story. This one particular counselor was really mean and belittling and just mean. And he came up to me 3 weeks before graduation and said, oh, we missed on your transcript. You are half a credit short, so you won't be graduating. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, nope, there's nothing you can do. So I went to the principal, which luckily I had this amazing principal, and I said, I was like crying upset, like I don't know what to. He said, you can take a home study course. And he's like, as long as we get the results back before graduation, you can walk with the class. So counselor's like, yeah, the counselor was like, you'll never do it in time. We never get them back. Good luck. Blah. And I did that thing, and I got it back, and I walked that stage, and I was like, in your face. You know,
right.
You create your circumstances.
I hope that counselor was on that stage.
Yeah. No, he was, I don't know where he was, but, you know, someday I will send him all the copies of my books and say, you know, here's to open-mindedness and being supportive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So another question we have is on your website, you said something along the lines of, and I'm not quoting directly, so you don't place blame on your childhood. So there's a lot of acceptance and forgiveness there. Walk us through that moment when you just have that cathartic release where, you know, you and I and Amy and most people who have gone through some form of tragedy and we go through the grieving process and we come out with that letting go, forgiveness, peace. What was it like for you, and how old do you think you were when you really started working on not placing the blame on your childhood or your mother?
You know, I'll have to say that I was probably 16. A lot of it had to do with, you know, finding out I was pregnant so young and having a daughter and wanting to be that example for her. And, you know, I was really able to let it go. Like, I don't blame my mom. I don't blame my dad. I think that they did the best that they could do in that situation. And I won't hold any anger for them, most of all for myself, because, you know, if I'm angry, then I'm giving away my emotions. I'm being filled with that toxic negativity myself, and I don't want to live that way. You know, I'm going to live sitting around going, oh, my mom was so horrible, I can't believe this. I just want to live with, you know what, it is what it is. It happened. It helped me to become who I am today, and if I had to go through all of that to get to be the person I am today, then it was worth every minute. And that's really how I'm able to, or, you know, I was able to let it go, and I still don't hold any anger towards them at all.
Which is really profound, because a lot of people aren't able to do that. And even though they were to blame, so to speak, for what, you know, not, but like you said, they did the best they could. You know, a lot of times with me working, because I do emotional release in my practice, and a lot of times they don't realize that it's possible that they went through the same thing. They don't know any different. They're self-medicating themselves with alcohol, so they don't know how to change, and that you don't hold any anger toward them is very profound, because a lot of people don't understand what that means. And it isn't that you're really forgiving what happened to you. You're forgiving them as a person, which is really helping you, not them. And a lot of people think that forgiveness is helping the other person. It's actually helping you, because you have to be the one to be able to move on, not... You know, yes, we want our parents to become better people and move on, but it's not your responsibility.
Right, I agree. You know, you have to be able to do it for yourself. And I go through the same thing with people saying, oh, but, you know, if you forgive them, then you're saying it's okay. And I'm like, that's not what it's about. Just like
it really
said,
isn't.
You know, it really isn't.
It's hard to understand. And I go through the same thing in my practice with my patients, and it's really hard to explain, but forgiveness is such a powerful, powerful thing, and it's the epitome of love. Being able to forgive someone who has done these things to you, there can't be any greater love than that, and love heals everything.
Right, I agree.
So, we had another question in regards to who watched your child so that you could graduate. Was it your parents, or did you have a relative, a friend? Because I'm thinking that you're about my age, and back then we didn't have, and I grew up in city schools, so the night classes and the daycares didn't exist at that time quite yet.
Lots of different relatives that would help babysit. You know, there were a lot of people in my husband's family and in my family that would pitch in and pick that up where I had to go to school. But believe me, I went as little as possible to graduate, because I wanted to be home. I wanted to be taking care of this amazing little person. So, you know, I missed as many days as I possibly could before they would kick me out, I guess I should say. But, yeah, there were lots of people that I was fortunate that way.
Awesome.
Now, what do you think about the modern-day school system having child care in place? I know our high school has a child care facility. It actually is unique, because the people that are learning child care actually can work in the child care
It's like a VOTEC program.
Yeah, it's like a VOTEC program, but I mean, there's professionals there as well, but I mean, they can do their internship there, and it's able. There's a lot of mixed emotions on the board about that. You know, if it's encouraging or it's okay to have, you know, be pregnant as a teenager, or are we supporting the teenager who becomes pregnant? You know, it's kind of a flip-floppy kind of subject. What's your view on that?
I think it's amazing. I think it's great that these people, I mean, if you think about it, a majority of girls and boys at that age are, you know, are all doing the same thing. It's just some girls get caught and some girls don't, I guess, is the way you can look at it. So for the school to be able to offer them a support like that, because, I mean, when you're a teenager and find out you're pregnant, it's scary. It's really scary. And then in most situations, you know, if the man is being like, well, I'm not dealing with it because he doesn't have to because he's not carrying this baby and he feels like he doesn't have to, then that's really hard. And for a girl to have somebody stand up and go, you know what, we'll help you. Let me help you get through this, can really strengthen her in becoming a mother, where she doesn't just want to be a statistic and drop out of school and you know, do nothing with her life or whatever. You know, I think that there's so much good in that. As far as encouraging the kids, they're going to do it if they're going to do it. It's their choice. Just because the school is helping those that are doesn't mean that they're telling other kids, yes, you know, please get pregnant. That's not what they're saying. But I think I'm all for it. That's my view on it.
And I am as well, because, you know, like in your situation, you probably didn't have a lot of support as to, you know, the repercussions of having sex early on and what's going to happen if you become a teenage mom, because your mom couldn't even be a mom in the true sense of the word because of, you know, her situation. So you probably weren't guided to talk about you know. So those children that end up pregnant because they don't have the good, you know, support system in their life, you know, that's where, you know, when they started this program, there were people voting on it. We actually have a police force on campus at our high school. So, you know, there's a lot of differences when I grow up, because I'm about 10 years older than Rusty. And when I went to school, none of this was in place. You know, if you became pregnant, it was such a taboo, and like, you know, what you were going through, and even the teachers and everybody that's supposed to be your support system don't end up being your support system, which really, really bothers me. I've been a Girl Scout leader for 18 years, and part of the reason why I stick with this organization is because it empowers women to be the best they can be, and gives them resources, and we talk about, you know, we talk about these things. We talk about bullying. We talk about, you know, of course, I have to get permission, but we do talk about, you know, menstruation and sex and everything else, and being, you know, it's okay to say no, and it's okay to say no to drugs. It's okay to say no to negative influence in your life so you can be the best you can be and achieve your goals. So when you graduated high school, so now we've graduated high school, and you made that goal, which is fantastic to hear that you did that, and you took the initiative to go to the principal and, you know,
stand up
for yourself. Yep. So from that point on, can you kind of step us through what got you into, like, you know, where you are today, being an author of 4 books? And so can you touch upon that journey a little bit?
Your 20s.
Yeah. After high school, I actually went to Fair State University, which is a college about 30 miles from where I live now. And I started college out there, and I didn't graduate from college because I got this really excellent job. And so I quit, which I probably now as an adult, and that what I know now, I probably would not have. But that was the way that played out, you know. And then I kind of just lived my life taking care of my daughter, and my husband worked. And that was, you know, we just kind of lived, I guess you can say, until I picked up this book called Choosing Happiness. I don't remember who it's by. And I started reading it, and I lived kind of, you know, I would go out and drink, and I wasn't living to my fullest at all. I was just kind of living, you know. I wasn't really, I was just kind of existing, I'll say. I wasn't living. And I started reading that book and I realized, oh my goodness, I have control of being happy, because I used to be such a mess. Like, my mom could call me and say mean things to me and it would take me out. Like, I would be devastated. I could not believe that, and it just broke my heart, and I would be upset the rest of the day. So I really was giving all of my power away to all these other people. You know, if anyone was mad at me or said they didn't like me or was talking about me, I would crumble, you know. And I read that book, and I remember thinking to myself, are you serious? I have this power. And I was 23, and I was like, wow, I was mind blown. And so I instantly started shifting the things in my life and started taking my power back and learning more about myself. And then I decided, you know, I want to do something that helps people. And this was long before my book came out even. I said, I want to do something that's going to help somebody. So I decided to start a magazine. And it was going to be about living positive and being empowered. And it was just going to have articles and just neat little things that could help people, aromatherapy, things like that. And so I printed it out and I wrote it all and I took it in and I started taking it to the places around my area. And everyone was like, you are crazy. There is no way this is going to be around here, because my area is very closed-minded. Like, it's really, people are scared of their power in this area, and that is just the plain, honest truth. And so nobody wanted to put it in their salons or anywhere. So I came home, and I was disappointed. My husband said, start a website. He said, you will not believe the people you can reach. So I started a website, and it was fantastic. Like, people started emailing me things, and I started reviewing books, and it was just really cool. And I just kept building myself from there, and I was just and then I discovered Facebook and all the amazing connections I started making on there, and I just felt more and more empowered and more in control, and I was helping people, and it just really inspired me to keep following this path. And so I wrote the book for my girls, which was the Awakening Consciousness, a Girl's Guide. And before that even came out, I started doing workshops and speaking engagements all over the country, and everyone was asking for a boy's guide. Well, that took me a little longer because I don't have boys, so I did have to research that, because there is a difference, you know?
Yep, they're different.
So I had to really dig deep and find people who had boys. And that came out, and then I was like, you know, I want something for women, because being a woman myself and all of these things that I've went through, you know, with my books, the things that I put in there are things that I've actually did. Like, I do not want to just speak to people about things that I've researched and looked up. And no, I want to help. I want to show you that I use these steps, and this is how I got to where I'm at in my life, where I feel like I'm living my best life I could possibly live. And right now in this moment, I mean, it just keeps getting better. And so I just really wanted to show that in a book, and that was with the Woman's Guide. I mean, it's so hands-on and so interactive. And then Reshaping Reality came, which was like a year in the making, because I really wanted to show people, I use these tools, you can use these tools, implement them into your life, expand on them, and watch your life change, because I'm living proof of it. And so that's really, you know, and that's what inspires all of my workshops and my seminars and my keynotes, is because I don't want to stand up there and talk to you. I want to show you. I want you to get your hands dirty in your own life and motivate you to change it, to live it and love it. And that's really, sorry, I get so excited when I talk about it, because it's just so cool of a thing that I get to do.
Yes, I understand that process, because I get to do what I love to do well as well. I worked in area hospitals for a long time and wasn't able to help people the way I do now, so I do appreciate that. The other question I have is, what they're calling it a toolbox. What kind of toolbox do you have? Do you have, besides your own books, which we'll get to, because I want that out there so people can look up your books and things, but other than the book you mentioned, were there other books or authors or inspirational speakers that influenced you along the way in writing your books and writing, you know, because, you know, I want to give our listeners some resources.
Yeah, a great author who inspired me immensely, Dyer. You know, I came across his books, and holy cow, like The Power of Intention, I just happened to pick up at Goodwill. I was in Goodwill in our town. And
I'm reading,
like,
that book right now.
Oh, my goodness. I got goosebumps when you said that. That is like my Bible, I should say. You know, I absolutely love it.
I found that book in my house. I don't even know where it came from. Have no idea. And I found it last week. And it was funny because I've been listening to him on Hay House Radio.
Right.
And I'm like, this guy's really got it going on. I really need to get some of his stuff. Not kidding. 3 days later, I found his book in my house.
Had, wow.
I've never bought it. It just appeared. And I've been reading it. And he's also on public television, I was told. Well, here it's Channel 11. But he has a show on public television right now. And he is unbelievable. I get goosebumps, too, because I can't put the book down. It's just,
it's like your whole perspective
so enlightening.
Changes.
It does. It does.
Yep, that's what
anybody
happened
else?
To me. Like, whoa. you know, I watched, well, like Wayne Dyer's movies. I really, I think he's one of my most influential, besides like, you know, I cannot think of the person's name right now. But I just read a lot of anything that's inspiring, you know, anything that makes me feel good, that's what I really pick up and read. And, you know, something books I get and they sit on my shelf for a couple of weeks because I'm not ready for them. And then the next thing you know, I pick them up and I just can't put them down. And so I think that's what you want to look for when you're looking to be inspired, something that helps you change your perspective and that, you know, you have a hard time putting down. And that's Wayne Dyer. I have all of his books because I read them over and over. So, I mean, he's really probably my most influential. Definitely.
Okay. Now, as far as, so going on from there, the books, what was the first book that you wrote?
Awakening Consciousness, A Girl's Guide.
Awakening. And that's both basically to do with younger girls? Okay. And the second one?
Awakening Consciousness, A Boy's Guide.
Okay. And that was the Boy's Guide. And the third one?
Awakening Consciousness, A Woman's Guide.
Okay, so you went from a girl to boys to women.
Yep.
And your fourth book.
Reshaping Reality, Creating Your Life.
Yeah.
We have a few more minutes. I'm going to ask a question. It's going to probably change the tone a little bit, and I apologize, but it just popped in. And then I would like you to give us your little overview on your latest book. One of the questions that just popped in is, what kind of relationship do you have with your parents currently? Are they involved in your kids' lives? Or?
My father passed away a couple years ago. And so before that, though, I was not really super close to him. You know, like I would talk to him maybe three times a year, but he lives in California and I live in Michigan. So there wasn't, you know, a real strong relationship there. There was, it was just, you know, whatever it was. My mom, she lives close to me, and we have a fine relationship. You know, any of the, I try to be open and loving and accepting of her, but my mom is very, very stuck in her victim mindset, and she's very negative, and she can be toxic sometimes. You know, she very much, when she is in a state of unhappiness, she wants everyone to be in a state of unhappiness. And I have to draw the line. I love her very much, but she doesn't have to be a constant in my life. And that's how I explain it to her, is that I love her very much, but I refuse to have my life imprinted by negativity and hatred. And she really, I mean, sometimes she just is so self-loathing that it's just really hard to even have a conversation with her. So my relationship with her is fine, though. You know, like there's no, we don't fight or anything like that. It's just, I have to, I decide to
set your strong boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that one.
And you have to do that. Yep. So, I mean, it doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means that you honor and respect your life. And, she has involvement with my kids. If, you know, if there's something going on, birthdays or whatever, she always comes and things like that. So.
That's cool. All right. So let's talk about your latest and greatest book before we wrap up the show.
Okay.
What is it about?
It is really about how we all have bumps and bruises in our lives, but we can all bounce back from them and reshape programmed beliefs and break cycles that we're stuck in, and you know, empower our mind, body, and spirit by taking an active approach to our lives. It's really about getting the tools. You know, in this book, I give you the tools to cycles and a live an empowered life and quit being a product of your childhood or whatever else that you're going through. You know, you don't have to stay stuck in those circumstances. Be empowered to live your life fully.
And do you have exercises in that book as well?
I do. It's not as, at the end of each chapter, it has three exercises that you can mm-hmm. use to reshape, like each, like, okay, let's say we have reshaping choice. And then there's three exercises to help you reshape your choice at the end of the chapter, you know. So, and that goes with each chapter.
I see. So you have kind of almost like a, when you're going through the book, it's kind of bringing them through a process that can get them to where, well, maybe not to where you're at, but to a point where they love and respect themselves and can be the best human being they can be through going through these exercises in your book?
Absolutely. And these are all, like I said earlier, you know, these are all exercises that I use, and I used and still use in my daily life to live a life of motivation and purpose. So, you mm-hmm. know, they're very real.
Right, right. Which this is why what intrigued us, because, you know, what we're trying to instill in this episode is that, you know, you can come from all different backgrounds as long as you have love and faith in yourself. You can pretty much do anything you want in your life. And that's why, you know, I know a lot of people in my life that are wonderful spiritual people that are great influences to myself, my children, and others, is that a lot of them have these type of backgrounds and have been able to, you know, rise above it. And that's what we want people to hear that are, you know, listening, that, you know, it doesn't matter how much abuse you've gone through, how much adversity you've gone through. It is up to you how your life continues. And even though as a child we don't have a lot of power over that, as an adult you definitely do. And I think it's wonderful that you have a great relationship with your mom, because, you know, a lot of people don't have that. They still either blame them or they can't see past all of that. And, you know, why would you allow this to happen to me? But she was a victim and didn't probably have the skills to know how to protect you. And you still ended up being a wonderful, thriving person. So, you know, I think this is really influential to those that think that there is nothing else. And I appreciate you going over all these things with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's so great to be able to share my story, because I know so many others have experienced things like it, and hopefully it can show them, you know, if I can do it, you can do it.
Absolutely. Now, Robin, can you do us a favor? As you know, we rebroadcast the show for other time zones. If you want to give out your website and contact information, this would be the time to do it, definitely.
Okay, you can find me on my website. It's just robinmarvel.com, and it's okay. RobinMarv, like Victor, E-L.
Try that one more time, because I think your phone zapped out.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
RobinMarvel.com, and it's RobinMarvel.
Okay.
And you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, you know, and people can email me at rmarvel@live.com.
rmarvel@live.com. Okay, great.
And Robin, last question for you, my dear. What is it, if you could summarize exactly what you want the viewers today to get out of this, what would it be?
What I would want them to get is that it is time to shake your spirit awake from anything that is limiting you from your potential, and start today, stop existing and start living. This is your life, your choices. You're powerful. So shine on.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Well, folks, that was Robin Marvel, an author, public speaker, and it was really cool to get to know her a little bit better and to hear about her journey and how she was able to, you know, march forward and push on in some pretty deep circumstances. And it definitely was a tough subject for some of you, so I appreciate the questions that you did give. I'm grateful.
And, you know, I totally agree with Robin. Just push forward and find your resources, and you are an incredible person, and you do have a spirit to shine on with. I'm absolutely all for that. Mm-hmm. Amy, do you want to wrap up with anything?
Well, I just, you know, it's great to hear, just to hear, because I've had several people in my life in the past, and even though I didn't experience some of the things that you have experienced or Rusty has experienced, I've watched friends go through this experience, and I have to say a lot of them are no longer with me because of, you know, drug abuse and alcohol abuse, leaving children behind, and to hear someone actually rising above it and doing the things that you're doing now is really enlightening, and I really wish that, you know, we have, and I know there will be more people like you coming out in this new age that we're going into more holistic health and more focusing on ourselves rather than what others think of us. And I really, it was great to have you on, and I appreciate everything that you've shared with us because I know it's probably hard for you to share those stories and giving, you know, some tools for people out there to use. I appreciate that, and you continue to rock on with your savvy self. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. It was great being here.
All right. Okay. So everyone out there in virtual land, I look forward to hearing you soon. Next week we have an exciting show. I believe
it's in Intuitive Insights. So if you're interested in having a psychic reading, we are going to be doing psychic readings online, which is going to be quite interesting. I'm also a tarot reader and numerologist, so I'm pretty excited for this. And so just to let you know that we're only going to be able to take so many, so you need to get on early in the chat line and on the caller line so that the first come, first serve, or first come, first read.
Right. So that'll be an interesting show to learn a little bit about what that means. I know that a lot of people are skeptical, and a lot of people have different thoughts about it. And it, because this show is based on your requests and what you, the audience, want to hear and learn about, that's why we exist. And, again, very grateful to all of the emails that we get in regards to different topics. And feel free, email us, let us know. As you know, it's rustymacdonald.com. I have my contact form. Send me an email. It's totally cool. Love, love, love being able to be the messenger in this with you and your journey. So talking to you next Wednesday, or hearing from you anyway. I hope you have a beautiful and blessed week, and keep living, keep thriving.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.